Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, we read about a number of very dedicated people. Now, what is the meaning of being dedicated, dedication? Why, to dedicate simply means to give yourself to some purpose or to some person without reservation. It means to be set aside for a purpose or for a cause. It is to be consecrated. We read of people being dedicated in the Old Testament to certain purposes. For instance, in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 31, "Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." These were people who had been set aside for specific duties and specific services before God. The idea of dedication is closely related to sanctification, being set apart through cleansing. Paul carried the idea even further when he spoke of the people of God being a peculiar people, Titus 2 and verse 14. Those who are of Christ are peculiar in that they are distinctive. They are people who have committed themselves to the service of the Lord. And again, is not this the general concept of the church? The word that is translated church is from the Greek word ekklesia, which simply means the called out. The church is composed of people, but a very special people. They are the saved. They are those who have heard the call of God from His Word and responded to that call, being set apart from their sins and the evil ways of the world, and set into the service of God under the authority and merit of Christ. They are dedicated to the cause of Christ and for the purpose for which He lived and died. To be dedicated refers to an attitude of heart that expresses itself in deeds. The dedication may well have some form of outward notation, such as when one is dedicated to a task, but the dedication begins in the heart. It conveys itself aloud through deeds of love and obedience and service and loyalty. Now, the purpose of this particular lesson is to highlight the loyalty and the dedication of some of the early disciples of Christ as are recorded in this fourth chapter of the book of Acts. These people serve as an example for us. They not only had a dedicated heart, but they demonstrated their dedicated heart by what they did and by what they did not do. Now, in this fourth chapter of Acts, we read about Peter and John. They were busy preaching the gospel of Christ, and their preaching got them into much difficulty, however. They were persecuted, intimidated, threatened, physically abused, and yet they remained courageous and obedient to the commission given unto them. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Acts 4, verses 19 and 20. "And being let go by their captors, Peter and John rejoined the other apostles, and they neither haughtily, vindictively, nor fearfully, nor cringed, nor complained of their situation and their problems." In fact, these early Christians were united, and they were thankful, and they were trusting, and they were full of praise to God in spite of the harassness and persecution they suffered. Their dedication is seen in their determination not to be turned aside from their religious mission. Acts 4 and verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And we see in this account not only the dedication of Peter and John, but the whole company. We read, beginning with verse 32, "And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Friend, the dedication of these disciples was in part due to the dedication of the apostles. Surely they were affected by the hardships being suffered by the apostles, but they were also influenced by their own dedication to Christ. It was not safe, let alone popular, to be a Christian. But this did not cause them to draw back from the truth. They only expanded their concern for each other and the lost. And you look again at verse 34 and 35, and you see how they were dedicated to the cause of Christ and to each other. Not the apostles had shriveled at this time. We wonder what might have been the history of the early church. But they all stayed together. They all helped each other. Nobody lacked anything that was needful. Those that had sufficiency shared with those who lacked. Now, this generosity has by some been misunderstood as communism. But when one studies what is actually revealed, he is not amazed because it is communism, and it's not, but because of the love in the hearts of these dedicated people. This was not a compulsory action. This was a voluntary one, which is made quite evident when we read Acts 5 and verse 4. The lands and possessions belonged to each one, and each one had the power of its use and distribution. It was not a selling off of everything and then providing an equal distribution, but each received as he had need. Now, this is a far cry from being parallel to a civil government enforcing the taking from the haves and giving to the have-nots. There was still the respect for the right of ownership, but there was also a recognition of the duty of stewardship and fellowship. They were motivated by unity and love for each other. Verse 32. They were not content to live in a word-only religion, but a deed-involved religion. John wrote, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And James wrote, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James chapter 2, 14 through 18. Their actions reflected their dedication to Christ and to others who belong to Christ. Now in the judgment scene presented in Matthew chapter 25, who was it that received the rewards and heard the words, "Well done," except those who had fed the hungry, and clothed the naked, visited the sick, provided for the prisoner and the stranger, given water to the thirsty? This is all a manifestation of genuine dedication to the cause of Christ. And let us also focus attention on the dedication of one named Barnabas. For some reason, this man is singled out in this account. We can only speculate why that might be, and this would likely be unprofitable to even know why it was. But he was called the son of consolation or exhortation, which indicates concern and the compassion he had for those who were in need of assistance, both materially and spiritually. He sold what he had for the benefit of others. But the dedication of Barnabas is also evidenced by other events of which we read in Scripture concerning him outside of this chapter. You know, after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, when no other would extend fellowship to Saul, Barnabas did. Others were afraid of him. They feared him because of his reputation as a persecutor. They could not believe that such a one as Saul would actually now be one of their brethren. But Barnabas was convinced of the genuineness of his conversion. He brought him to the apostles. He convinced the apostles of his sincerity and validity as a brother. Acts 9 and verse 27 says, But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had boldly preached at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now that was a good day's work to the credit of dedicated Barnabas, the day he brought Saul to the brethren. And when the church in Jerusalem heard the gospel had been taken to the Gentiles in Antioch of Syria, the brethren sent Barnabas to assist those new brethren, Acts chapter 11. And as their work progressed, Barnabas left for Tarsus to secure Saul for further work together. They worked as a team in the city of Antioch. Acts chapter 11 tells us, And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The joint labors of Barnabas and Saul extended to taking collections from Antioch to Jerusalem in the time of famine in Judea, Acts chapter 11. That he was chosen for such a work indicates the confidence others had in him, and how they recognized his integrity and his devotion to the cause of Christ, his love for the brethren, his concern for the needy, his dedication. Barnabas is one of those doubly outstanding characters which we read in the New Testament in the days of the early church. Probably we would all have to improve considerably to measure up to the great stature of Barnabas as a Christian. And the work of Barnabas and Paul included the first missionary journey that included, at first, John Mark, who became a source of contention between Paul and Barnabas later on. They were together in success as well as the hazards of that journey. Paul and Barnabas endured opposition from the sorcerer Elymas, persecution to the point that Paul was stoned and left for dead, even a misdirected praise of them as if they were gods. And when Judaizing teachers from Jerusalem came to Antioch, and they created confusion and division by insisting that the Gentiles had to conform to certain Jewish laws and to conform to the Jewish traditions before they could be counted as Christians, demanding circumcision, Paul and Barnabas withstood them. We must wonder what might have been done to the truth if they had not stood as they did. Finally, it was decided to put a stop to that kind of heresy by going to the source from which such false teaching was springing. It was decided by the church at Antioch to send brethren to Jerusalem and to clarify the matter so that false teaching could be terminated. Barnabas was selected to go with Paul. He took a leading part in the discussions that transpired. Obviously, he was a man known for his knowledge of the truth and his determination to stand for it and to fight for it, his soundness in the faith, his overall dedication to the faith of Jesus Christ. Later, when he and Paul disagreed over taking John Mark on the second missionary journey, his dedication was still very much in evidence. He saw in Mark what potential there was, and he would not surrender to Paul's wishes concerning Mark. He persisted in his work of preaching the gospel. He took John Mark and he went on again into Cyprus. Personality disagreements did not affect his dedication to the truth or to his duty. It is ironic that he, rather than Paul, proved to be right about the usefulness and the worthiness of John Mark, and even Paul was later convinced of it. Well, little wonder that the cause of Christ grew and that it was defended, and the gospel preached everywhere with such dedication as these early disciples demonstrated. It takes dedication, friend, to be a faithful Christian. It is an essential element in establishing, but also in maintaining, the cause of truth. It's essential in facing opposition and temptation and discouragement and digressions and perils that come from within and from without. The dedication we should all have is expressed in Paul's writing of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A more noble cause never existed than New Testament Christianity. Saving the lost, bringing praise and glory to God. And as we reflect on the dedication of these people in Acts chapter 4, let us also resolve that we shall strive to be equally dedicated, supportive, active, aggressive, determined, and faithful. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.